Okay, let's get into it. Thank you so much for being here. I am your host, Pamela Glover, for the Diversity Roundtable. I'm so excited today. You know, I always say that the power of networking and networking with impact, and LinkedIn happens to be that platform that connects us with really brilliant minds across the globe. And today we are just really, really so fortunate to have this deeply inspiring conversation with an amazing lady, Anne Moriah. She's a transformation strategist, a coach, originally from Kenya, with over 25 years of experience guiding leaders and organizations through transitions. I think, believe Anne, you've done this in more than 30 countries, right? If I'm okay. So you've been
Yes.
around the world, right? So you will give us wealth of information and insights today. I'm just really, really excited. So just for context, Anne specializes in helping leaders and teams create clarity, confidence, and courage as we reset and renew ourselves. So our topic today is the power of reset to revitalize your life and leadership. So we'll explore practical insights, mindset shifts, and storytelling that can help all of us to reset both in our professional and our personal lives. So, Anne, it is a pleasure to have you today. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Pam, for having me.
Yes, so I think let's kick in with our discussion. And before we dive deep into the subject, can you just give us a bit of background, who you are, where you've been, where you're from, you know, what got into the space in the first place in terms of helping leaders transition as they navigate their lives as well as their careers. Over to you, a bit of
Yes.
background and intro.
Thank you very much, ma'am. So yes, I'm a firstborn daughter. I am a mother of two adult children. I was born, raised, educated in Kenya, in East Africa, and have had a life that has been very interesting. Interesting in the sense of, when I think back to my even professional journey, I started off with a keen interest in strategy, change management, and psychology. And the psychology of it was a bit interesting because I came into that as I watched my children grow, as I watched some of the other students in the school that they went into, and I was just curious. And so my curiosity over the years sort of intertwined. And over the years, I've worked globally with senior leaders across various sectors, supporting them in strategy, in managing change, leadership, organizational culture. And particularly from the professional standpoint, I began to notice how all these pieces were deeply, deeply connected. And so at the center of it all was always the leader in a transformation journey. And so my curiosity around behavior and the structured systems, whether those systems of organizations or systems of business, led me very naturally into this space as a transformation strategist and coach.
Wow, it's really quite a remarkable journey so far. So, and I'm really, really excited to hear more from you. So I think let's really then just kick in and just let me ask this question. So when I say reset, what does that truly mean to you, particularly in the context of leadership and life?
So when I talk about reset, I don't mean starting over from scratch. You know, when we talk about starting over, you're actually talking about implying, you know, you're implying that everything has to be wiped clean, as if whatever was before had no value. But a reset is about pausing, recalibrating, and choosing again with clarity. So you take the time to recognize that what got you to this point may not take you forward, and that you can actually carry forward the wisdom, the lessons you've had from the past, but align them with a fresh sense of direction.
No, that is very, very important because we often hear about It's starting over, new me, new this. And I like that, because as human beings, we navigate life through different phases. Am I correct? And it's very
Yes.
important then to recognize the phase that you are entering into at any particular point of your life and why you are entering that phase and how do you then leverage on your past experience and your current skills to then navigate into who you are becoming, because life is a lifelong journey, right? And it's very important then that we carry, those experiences, but also take the lessons from some of the experiences that might not have served us well in the past and say, what was this trying to teach me? Does that resonate with you?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And the truth is, we're always a sum total of what's been before, but we then have this opportunity to choose and choose to take some things forward, choose to discard others, and that's totally okay.
Can you share with
Yes.
me then in that context, let's build on this end. Can you share with us then an example, because you've dealt with so many, many leaders in different geographies. So can you share with us an example of someone or maybe even yourself who has embraced a reset with powerful results? I know that is a closed statement, but then just try and elaborate what that looks like based on the people that you've interacted with.
So if I could sort of share this. So if we particularly look at COVID, I find COVID a sort of line in the sand where after COVID, lots of things changed. And I've seen many people like myself as well who went through a season where COVID acted as a pause. It actually forced people to pause and ask themselves really hard questions. What am I doing? What's my life all about? I remember some leaders saying to me, one particular one said to me that they had never spent time with their child. And so during COVID, because they were forced to be there with a child, the helper had to go back home. They got to learn their child all over again. They had never had that opportunity. Now, in my case, what happened was I went through a season where even if things were working, looked like they were working, I felt a disconnection from parts of my work. And I sort of took a step back and was wondering, what is it? So I recognized I was drawn to some elements of it, but not to others. Others, I just felt I just didn't have the wherewithal to continue with them. So I actually sat down to redefine, first of all, like you said earlier, who I had become. And on the basis of who I had become, looking, pressing into the disquiet that I had been sensing, I also began to look and say, what parts of my work give me joy, give me fulfillment, and energize me? And so what did I do? I recreated, redesigned my life and my work so that at the end of the day, I took what I felt was working and what, I could then move forward and decided that there were other aspects I could let go of. And so there was a lot of letting go, but there was also a lot of pivoting. And it wasn't about abandoning everything I'd built. No. I was now stepping into what gave me fulfillment. And so for me, there's something about the reset that brought alignment. And in life and leadership, we want to keep realigning so that we're building on the outside in a sustainable way because it's flowing from who we are on the inside. That's the only way you get it sustainable.
I like the last phrase that you just mentioned now, flowing from who we are from the inside, right? Because I think for me, that says, before you can pour out into the world, you really need to know who you are first. Both from a personal perspective, a leadership perspective, a spiritual perspective, even, to understand the essence and the core of who you are as a human being first before you can even pour out to others. So
Absolutely.
building on that, because it's really transformational work that you do amongst other people, that do similar work as well. So in your transformation work, so do you guide people through a framework, because we have all sorts of frameworks when it comes to personal development and coaching. And some of the frameworks, they involve like the three R's, like reflecting, reframing, and re-energize. So can you take us through the framework that you particularly use and walk us through each stage and just give us practical examples as well?
Sure. I like your framing, and mine is actually reflect, redefine, and recalibrate. And this is because I find reflection brings clarity, and then redefining gives you courage to see new possibilities. And then we recalibrate to make sure that our actions and our rhythms stay anchored to what matters the most. And so if I take us through, just like, for example, reflect, the first one, reflect. Reflect has to do with actually pausing and noticing. And it's really important that before you rush into any action, you take time to pause and notice. Notice what is draining your energy. Notice what patterns keep repeating. Notice what's no longer serving you or your team, or on a personal level, your family. And what happens with this? It brings on a gentle awareness, which is often the turning point, because you can now actually name what's going on. And when you're able to name what's going on, you're able to then change it. And so after we've paused and we've noticed, we then redefine. And redefining has to do with asking, what else could this mean? So I've noticed this is what's happening and I've named it. What else could this mean? And here we shift the lens and see challenges not as dead ends, which oftentimes they present themselves as, but as doorways. And so you begin to look and see what's a new opportunity or possibility that wasn't visible before. You've probably heard this phrase where an upset is often a setup. Yeah, when you think of the Japanese and Chinese symbols for crisis. So this is where we are shifting our lens and not looking and thinking, oh goodness, this can't work. No, you're looking and saying, what is the invitation here? What is the possibility here? Because from there, you can now recalibrate and move with intention, because you've gotten more clarity now. You can take more aligned and deliberate steps. And this is not about doing more, but it's about doing what truly matters. And I think this is a thing we have to begin to figure out, what is it that truly matters? So it's not about doing everything. And so this way, you reclaim your energy and you focus on that which gives you meaning and purpose. And so whether you're an individual or an organization, you can actually move forward with courage, because this is anchored on what is important to you. And you're able to do so even with greater confidence. Yes. Yeah.
No, thank you so much, because I like how you framed it, because it really, to your point, that it gives us clarity in terms of, what is really important in my life at work, and work rather, and where am I and why am I here, and what has gotten me to this point, and what are some of the things then that I need to let go of, so that I can be the best version of myself. So in that context, can you share, because obviously you've coached many, many people and many, many executives. So can you share with us maybe like a memorable coaching story where this framework helped executives or teams navigate a reset in their context, and what that looked like?
One particular one that comes to mind is a client transformation journey with a founder. And what was happening was they were preparing to exit the business. They had, and this was a business they had built over many years. Now, for them, the transition was more than financial, it was deeply personal. Their identity was so intertwined with the company. And so stepping away felt impossible. And so I encouraged them to slow down and simply notice what was emerging. for them in terms of what energized them, what drained them about running that business, what was no longer aligned with the season of life they had come into. And so what happened is the pause created the space for them to see what they had been avoiding, that they were actually ready to let go, but didn't trust was what was on the other side of letting go. And so we explored this question, supposing this exit isn't actually an ending, but instead a passageway, a gateway into the new. And so they came away with a new perspective, and it was a perspective that honored the legacy they had built and also created room for new dreams, new priorities, and even rest, which was something they deeply needed. And so they now had a bit more clarity, they had more courage. And so they designed a structured exit plan that it allowed them to also celebrate the journey and empowered the incoming leadership team, because now they had to ensure they set up a strong leadership team. And as they did as she did this began to enable her to pursue meaningful pursuits beyond that business. And so the reset did not diminish the legacy, it amplified it, because this was now rooted in alignment rather than fear. Many times we fear something, and so we don't want to rock the boat, but this now felt so aligned, and they realized they were not abandoning the business. They were actually harnessing the legacy of what they had built.
No, so it is really true because I think most often than not, most leaders and most of us actually, we tend to operate on autopilot, if that's the phrase. It's like we just do this thing and then we move on to the next thing and then we move on to the next thing. And somewhere along the line, then also burnout kicks in, right? Because we never stop to pause and say and ask critical questions. So I like what you have said. It's really, really profound. So let's get on to our next segment, which is really that going deeper into, reset in leadership and organizational culture in a broader context. Now, I know that you've just given us an example, but let's widen the lens to organizational leadership in the context that how can corporate leaders instigate a reset culture to revitalize their teams and mission.
Now that's a really good one. That's a really, really good one. And honestly, the first thing is that it starts with leadership modeling. It starts with the leadership leading by example. You see, what happens is, I don't know if you've ever heard this phrase where they say, particularly around parenting, it's been used, but usually leadership. What you're doing is speaking so loudly, I cannot hear what you are saying. And so when you think about leaders, when a leader has the courage to model pausing, not just slowing down, but actually pausing and noticing, they honestly give their teams permission to do the same. And so what you find is that it will show up because a leader is beginning to notice signals of fatigue in their team, is beginning to notice misalignment before it escalates, and is even noticing emerging opportunities simply because they paused and they noticed. And so whether it's the next line of management, whether it's the other teams within, you begin to notice and say, yes, in fact, this is what our leader has been doing, so we can do it too. So leadership modeling, by example, the culture they want to see in the reset is becomes a really powerful tool, because you inadvertently give permission to people to do this. Another thing I would share is, particularly when we're looking at organizational health, which is what I like to call it, this is when we're talking about an environment that supports an organization fulfilling its vision and goals. One of the things you always want to do is you want to create psychological safety.
Spot on.
And psychological safety is a term that was coined by a professor called Amy. I can't remember her second name. And this is when team members feel safe enough to be able to act in the culture that's been, that's being pushed forward. So you can say at meetings all you want that we want to have a reset culture. This organization is moving forward and we're putting things in place. We want a reset culture. But you know what? Until the team members feel that they can make the pivot without fear of judgment, they will not pivot into resetting. And this is what happens when you actually create an environment where people feel safe enough to reset, then you will even begin to notice that innovation increases. Why? Because people are taking time to reflect, to think and say, this isn't working anymore. They find their voice, they're able to contribute and say, we have noticed that this isn't working anymore, that maybe this might be a better solution. But if they do not feel safe, if they feel that they will be judged, you will sit at meetings, you will talk to yourself, you will share everything you think needs to be done, and the room will be silent. And so if you notice any of this is happening, take a step back and ask, are we creating psychological safety in this organization or not? And so culture must be supported by psychological safety. The third la and last thing I'll say is that the culture can only be supported if you embed systems that allow a rhythm of that culture you're wanting to bring in. And so what does this look like? This looks like ensuring that if you ever have a team retreat, there's opportunity given in there for resets. If you're doing basic check-ins, whether they're monthly check-ins, one-on-one check-ins, that there's opportunity for reset. There's structured reflection points. You know, these are not interruptions. I remember having to say over and over again, before an agenda in a meeting, are you taking time to check in and find out where people are at? And if you see that as an interruption, you've got quite a bit of work that needs being done. Because until these people are in a space where they feel that they are seen, they are appreciated, you cannot honor or even get to a place where things will work for the organization. Because this is the truth. A practice like this will keep the mission alive. Why? Because people will keep checking in. Are we on mission? Are we being relevant? Is what we're doing relevant to mission? And so that is energizing. They'll be adaptive. They're checking in. You know, we're flexible enough to shift. We're not just pivoting just because everyone's pivoting. We're looking at what's going on in this space of ours. You're aligned, you're anchored to purpose, to the purpose, to the vision of the organization and the values. That cannot happen outside of these three aspects as the key aspects that undergird any culture of any organization. And so a reset culture, honestly, is not a luxury. It's a responsibility that needs to be taken on by the leadership because it will create space for people and purpose to flourish together.
No, thank you, Anne. Because also what I'm hearing you say, just in summary, is that, for leaders to build a reset culture in the organization, it must be intentional.
Completely.
Yes, but also it must be proactive, So we shouldn't wait until something happens and be like, oh, okay, what did we miss? How do we, reflect and almost like fighting fires and being reactive after the incident has happened, right? So, which leads me then to this segment that says, let's talk about reset amid adversity, right? So to contextualize is that many people reach for a reset when they are overwhelmed and or they're even burnt out. So any advice on how to reset effectively in the midst of pressure? Because Most environments, whether socially or in the corporate setting, there's always pressure, right? But then how do we then, make sure that we reset effectively instead of waiting for burnout or, waiting for us to be overwhelmed amongst the pressure, amongst the deadlines, amongst the deliverables, even in our personal spaces, we juggle so many things. We multitask, there's home, there's study, there's family, there's work, there's everything. So can you contextualize this for us?
Indeed. Yes, I can. So the key is to learn how to reset regularly and to do so in the midst of whatever is going around you, so that you're more resilient. And so there's what I refer to as alignment moments. And so what I encourage, these are small intentional pauses, and they take just a few minutes, but they make a big difference. And so it could look like in the midst of your day and things are all over the place, you just step outside, go outside and look at something very different. If you're fortunate enough to be somewhere where there's nature, step out and just, in fact, they call it, it's almost take a nature bath, where you just walk under a tree, look at a flower. But what you're doing is you're shifting your focus to something else. And what that does, it actually refreshes you. Just that little short thing you did refreshes you. Or it could be as simple as you taking a few deep breaths, breathing deeply in and then breathing out a few times so that you. Before, so that you transition into the next meeting. It also looks like you creating margin in your day so that you don't always have back-to-back meetings. You at least have 5, 10 minutes where maybe you can stand up and stretch, breathe in, and so that you're then able to shift gears and move on. Another thing is changing, mixing up your tasks. So that if you've been working on one thing for a long time, maybe set a timer after 20 minutes, get up and go on and do a different task. Because what that will do, it will also just refresh you. But what's really important is to recognize, small as these pauses look like, they're actually quite effective because what you're actually doing is you're creating mindfulness, you're creating yourself being present in a thing. And so I know of someone who, as a really busy executive, trained themselves to, in between meetings, to just, like, especially if you're doing remote meetings, to just put down their laptop, who shut it down for 5 minutes. And during that 5 minutes, just breathe. Just breathe. And if you're feeling, you're cluttered in your mind, write down some things, just a dump, like a brain dump. Write down things, whether on a device or on paper, just jot down some things. And that really helps you shift from there. Or it could even be just take, especially if you've really had a hard time, a hard day, or a hard meeting, just note down 3 things you're grateful for. And what that does is it reminds you that all is not lost. And so it realigns you. So these are just ways of putting in alignment moments to align you back into who you really are so that you're not frazzled by what's going on.
So it's basically you need to give yourself permission for me time. Because sometimes also, the trap that we get into, especially as women leaders, not that males don't get into this trap, but I think it's more prominent for female leaders, is that we wear our nurturing hat and our multitasking hat, and then we tend to forget about ourselves. Or sometimes we
Absolutely.
tend to feel guilty for giving ourselves me time, because then you're thinking, oh, I could be doing this, I could be doing that. But I think, what I'm hearing is that it's okay to give yourself permission to pause and focus on you, and in terms of what your body, what your spirit, what your soul is telling you.
I like how you've put it. And I would say it's not just okay, it's important. So let me give an example. For example, when you think of a car, if you're driving a car and it starts blowing out some steam in the front. You're not going to keep driving. You will stop. You will open that hood in the front to find out what's happening. So, similarly, if you find yourself boiling over, maybe you're having a headache or maybe you're losing your temper easily, stop. Stop. Take the 5 minutes to check in. What is going on? Or breathe or take a walk. It's really important. And whatever's going on internally is usually a signal. So you don't want to override that and keep going because then, like the car, it could just knock and you'd have to leave it by the side of the road and find a different way.
No, thank you this for this end. So does can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah. So does a cultural background influence this? And this is like really a deliberate question because you have done work in multiple geographies in multiple countries. You have worked with diverse leaders, diverse people, diverse communities. And
Yes.
so from a cultural background context, you know, what are
Yeah.
the dynamics then that you tend to see in this
Yeah.
space? You know, and then maybe also give
Yeah.
us context, which geographies
Yeah.
locations, because yeah, it's quite a rich background that you have. Maybe just dive deep also into your background and how you started and how you branched out of Kenya to do work in other countries. But first, you know, let's
Yeah.
ask the cultural background context
Yeah.
in terms of the
Yeah.
diverse people that we have worked with.
Yeah. Yeah. So as you ask that question, what comes to mind is something I was interested in for very many years. I was interested in what motivates behavior. And one of the things a place I landed at is oftentimes we're motivated based on our family of origin. And so why this is important is when you speak of a cultural context and look at something like pausing, many times people have come from backgrounds where perhaps if where you were socialized, you were taught that you will be, what's the word? You will be awarded or rewarded. Yes, rewarded is a better word. You'll be rewarded for working very hard and performing. Then what happens is you carry that with you. And so the thought of pausing is ludicrous because you're wired to keep pushing and keep performing. And so you have to unlearn to learn. So you unlearn the performance mindset and now train yourself to pause and understand why it is important to pause so that you don't break down. And so you will find that notwithstanding, and this is actually quite interesting, notwithstanding the part of the world you came from, if the social framework you came from was one that was more predisposed to poverty, then performance was a real important thing because this was the only way you were ever going to come out of poverty. But you'll also find that where there has been insecurity, there's a need to prove yourself. And sometimes proving yourself looks like you going and going and going. Sometimes I think that's where we get things like the Energizer bunny, that keeps going it. And so so people are clapping, please. Oh, this person, they never rest. They're always going and everyone's clapping and you're feeling, yes. Now, do you know that is a reward system? Until you go down into the ground because of how much you've pushed yourself. And I remember one time speaking to some leaders, and they came from different African countries. And it was so fascinating. I mean, the continent was well represented in that training session. And they were like, this is so true. And one shared an example of how they had been in a meeting, and there was somebody from a multinational large organization, which I've mentioned here, you would all know. And that person was in the room with them, and their child came in. So let's assume my child comes into the room, and because I have this visitor who's coming to check that the financing they've given us is working well, my child is saying, we're supposed to go for this thing. So I quickly dismiss my child because I want to show this person I'm working very hard to make sure this money you've given us is working well. So do you see right there? In that night, in the session we were in, they realized, that's when it dawned on them, that they were sacrificing family on the altar of looking like they were doing something, looking like they were performing. And so we have very many altars we sacrifice because we want to look a particular way, a way that is socially accepted. So, notwithstanding whichever culture you come from, whatever is pronounced and lauded is what you then want to respond to. But the question is, at what expense?
That is just really, really, really true, because we need to stop and ask that critical question indeed, at what expense? But then also, there's what can you say then in this context around peer pressure or feeling like you are not doing as much as other people are doing? Like, social media puts so much pressure on all of us, if not most of us. And there's LinkedIn, right? There's LinkedIn, where just people are constantly posting all the nice and wonderful things that they are doing, and you just feel like, oh, I'm so behind. Why am I not there? So the peer pressure and the spirit of comparison and competition. How does it fit in into this topic?
So, earlier we spoke about reflecting and figuring out what is it that's important, what matters. And you're looking at this from your belief system, from your values, disposition, looking at this from your life and season of life phase that you're in. And there's got to be a place where you say to yourself, I don't love my life. My work is not fulfilling. And I can't keep doing the same thing over. And over again, and hope to change. And this is the thing, Pam. We have agency, we have choice, and we need to begin to behave that way because I can't look around at my peers and decide because they're doing this, I'm also going to do that. That may be serving them. And this is why we have to keep pausing and noticing, because supposing it doesn't serve me, or supposing it served me in a different season, but no longer serves me today. I've got to make certain decisions. And I'll tell you, like for myself, many years ago, I attended an event just like this one. And the speaker said that the life you have right now is because of the choices you've made. I honestly was very offended by that statement. And what it did is it confronted me. And I had to make certain choices. Different choices for what I wanted. That's the realization that hit home. And so, for example, today, I don't work on Fridays. I don't. And it's actually on my signature, on my emails, so that anyone I'm corresponding with knows that they do should not expect me to respond on a Friday. I don't work on Fridays. Why? Because I want to give myself space to rest, to renew, to reflect. And it's simply because also of my makeup. I am one who values space to reflect. And then also in terms of the way I structure my day, I don't get on calls or have meetings until after 11, because what I do is I have found that the morning is the best time for me to do deep work. So that's the way I've structured even my scheduling. So what am I doing? I'm putting in boundaries. We have to be brave enough to put in boundaries around our life and decide what will I do, what will I not do. When will I look at my emails? When will I not look at my emails? And then also things like celebrating even the smallest of wins. You know, I tend to do that by often going for a good coffee at a cafe, you know, adding stillness, moments of stillness, nature, meaningful conversations with people that you love, you know. Simple practices like these will keep you in a space that is healthy for you, because what's the point, like you now mentioned? So we go on off with peer pressure, doing what everybody else is doing. But when you look at your relationships, you've disconnected from the people that are that are meaningful to you. The meaningful relationships are not being nurtured. What are you doing? And then you're wondering why it's not working. Even your car goes for service, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And so talk to us about, what's next in your world, what's coming up in your world. I think when we were talking earlier, preparing for this discussion, you told me that you'll be in Cape Town in September. What's happening there?
So in September, from the 1st to the 5th, I'm running a workshop for it's a leadership immersion actually. So it's very experiential. So we actually closed registration on Friday, but if anybody was open and wanted to, we can always reconsider that. What we have at the middle of September, we have what a 3-day clarity challenge. And so that's just a space where for an hour each day you come and I facilitate the space so that you gain clarity in whatever area you're finding challenge. And in fact, for your audience, we will be giving a 25% discount for that. And so, yeah, because at the end of the day, what we want is we want people not to just lead better, but to live better. So it's creating spaces like that where we're constantly looking at where we are at and what we need to do. So for now, those are two key things that that are ahead in September.
Okay, no, I wish I would attend, but yeah, I guess I'll be doing other things, but I'm glad that you're offering 25% discount to our people here on the call that can find themselves in Cape Town or whoever that will listen to the recording post this. Like I said, we'll put it on our YouTube and then we'll promote it to multiple countries in Africa. So just tell me, Anne, because now I'm just really getting curious. Before I hand over to our ladies in the call, just maybe some for the for those that would like to engage with you. What made you get into this space? Because obviously you didn't start off your career, doing this type of work. And so what made you get into this space? Maybe if you can just take us through your career journey. The reason why I'm asking this question is that for someone that wants to pivot, someone that wants to, do something else with their career, maybe later in life or even wherever they are now, how do they get into the space that you currently occupy?
Okay, no, that's a good question. So, you know what? I actually started this journey doing more around strategy. So a lot of my training was on strategic planning for executives, and with that also change management. And I remember for a long time, I would talk about change management. I would try and help people understand the process, which sometimes I feel is not very well done, but anyway. And over the years, as I kept doing this, I found, you know, it's like you're solving one problem and another one comes up. So by the time now we're looking at leadership skills, because you now realize actually we can't deal on strategy if we are not dealing with a skill set. We can't deal with strategy if we're not putting a finger on the culture. And so that's how I eventually came to space of recognizing, first of all, that some of the models we had worked with over the years one would need to be revamped, would need to be relooked at. And I felt that there was a move to being more person-centered, in the sense that we have the leader right in the center of everything. Whether you're a professional who's transitioning from employment to running your own business, And so there was a need to come alongside this person in a coaching fashion. So right now we have lots of people saying, I'm coaching, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. But I think it's really important to realize that when we talk about coaching, coaching is a tool. When we talk about facilitation, facilitation is a tool. When we talk about training, training is a tool. When we talk about mentoring, it's a tool. So we have all, an eclectic toolkit that you pull out from time to time. But the question is, what is it for? And in my case, it is for transformation, because I have learned that transformation, first of all, is a journey. And at different parts of this journey, the tool used will be different. And so I'll pull out the tool needed at the point that we are at. But ultimately, it's all about transformation. And it's because I feel as we continue, and I love how you put it at the beginning as we started, we are always becoming. Who I was last year is not who I am today because of the experiences I've had over the past 8 months. And so as you realize that and become intentional, we then say, so who are we becoming? What's a transformation journey? What does that look like in my specific case for someone to design a life and a business they love? Now, that in particular became very important to me because I realized we tolerate our lives. And so you keep going on and going on with something that is no longer serving you, and you can change it. And so I kept tweaking what I do to make sure that I'm providing a space that gives people permission to do that.
We tolerate our lives.
Why?
Oh my, honestly, that has just, opened so many thoughts. I mean, before I start asking another question, and then we go on for more than an hour. But, I would just really like at this point maybe to open up the opportunity for those that have joined us in the call. If you've got any questions or any input or any messages, if you want to type in the chat, please, you're more than welcome. If you want to say something, now this is your moment to shine. And unmute yourself, and then let's just really engage with Anne, because I think Anne, you bring such a wealth of information, such a richness as well in terms of, how you see the world. It would be rich because, I mean, you've interacted in more than 30 geographies, right? So I wish that one day I could have an opportunity to sit down with you over lunch for half a day and actually just pick your brain on a couple of things. But I'm sure that opportunity will come because the world
It
has
will.
become really, really, really small. So
Yes.
anyone in the call that would like to engage with Anne, I see Belinda, you have unmuted yourself. So over to you.
Hi, ladies. Hi, Anne. Hi, Pam.
Yes.
I think for me, what I took out today is realizing that I had a forced courage actually to research after 10 years. And unfortunately, you don't realize that you're burnout and you're overwhelmed or all these things that you keep pushing, you can't quit. It's very difficult because when you want to prove a point, you don't realize what you're doing to yourself. You know what I mean? And being a manager, only a female in a school of men, and you're trying by all means to say, I can do this. But unfortunately, they keep on telling you, you can't do it. This is a man's job. This is, you will never make it in this industry. But then you don't want to quit because you want to prove a point. And you get overwhelmed, you get burnt out, you get, you end up believing in what they're saying, which is untrue. And that affects your health. I mean, I believe that I was sick, but I wasn't sick. It's because I believed in what they were saying. But then after 10 years, I realized, Belinda, no, you can't do this to yourself. Get away, get out of your comfort zone, redefine your life, clear your mind, revisit your goal. Something is not working. Find that thing that is working. And I ended up saying, you know what? Let me leave it all. Let me find me. Let me find what I can do. And I did that. But it took me 10 years to realize that this is not for you. You were trying to prove a point, and it's not right. But thank you so much for giving me that, and again, to assess or reassess your social circle. You know, when you're down, you realize that you only have one friend. Yeah, so thank you very much.
Spot on, Belinda, right? When the chips are down, I don't know, that's when you realize who your people are, right? But then it's also an opportunity for you to build new relationships that are aligned to who you are becoming, right? So thank you for that comment that you've shared, Belinda, with so much grace as well and conviction. So anything that you'd like to maybe say in response to Belinda, Anne?
Yes, first of all, to congratulate you, Belinda. And listen, don't lament that it took 10 years. Celebrate that you stepped out of your comfort zone. And I love that you called it a comfort zone because that's what keeps many people imprisoned. And the fact, I mean, look, 10 years later, you could still have been in that place. So well done to you and celebrate that. And as you do that, this is the other thing. I love what you said even about relationships. You know what I've appreciated is that as we go through different seasons of life, we need to realign our relationships. And it's not because there's anything really wrong with the relationship. It's simply that you're not where you were before. And like someone once said, as we climb up a mountain, the air becomes thinner. And sometimes some people can no longer come up with you because they can't hack the thinning of the air. So it's not that there's anything wrong with them, but where you're going is very different and calling for a different set of relationships to spur you on, to encourage you, to challenge you. And so, I mean, I was saying this to someone yesterday. What you were born in a hospital, you left that hospital, you didn't stay there. You went to primary school, you left that school, you didn't stay there. You went to high school, you left that. So life, we keep moving from one place to the next. And it's all right if we're not carrying everyone with us because we all have our own destinies and we will then meet. This is the thing, enjoy the path when your paths cross. But choose those that you want to journey along. I'll tell you what picture came to mind as I listened to you, Belinda. When you were talking about being in this organization and all these men, I remembered that oftentimes when you've been in a room for too long, you don't notice when it becomes stuffy. It takes somebody coming in through the door to ask, why is it so stuffy, and open up the windows. And sometimes we need to put ourselves in different environments so we begin to notice what we have withstood for too long that needs to shift.
Thank you so much.
I love your analogies, Anne, about the stuffy rooms. Yeah, and it's so true, right? It is so true. Thank you so much for that. So, anyone else before we take some closing reflections? Mary, you are muted, so over to
Yes.
you.
Okay. Thank you so much. And that was very inspiring, as always. So I think what Belinda was saying about proving a point, that's something that happens to a lot of people. And I go through that kind of situation as well. Like you don't want to seem like you are a failure. Like you have to prove a point, and then you keep doing things that do not produce any value or bring any kind of, happiness or meaning into your life. So I think that's the trap. But I want to say also that Pam, that I know Anne, we know each other, and she is the one who actually inspired me to register my business. Something that I was putting on hold for a long time. And it's that encouragement to say, this is your passion. You are very good at that. So that encouragement, because when we don't have the time to reflect, actually, we are always busy. So I took the time to reflect. I'm actually passionate about this thing. So why don't I pursue that, even if it's for part time, And taking that one little step, I cannot tell you the difference it has made in my life. because that's what I'm passionate about and that's what I want to do. So I want to take this opportunity again to thank Anne for inspiring me and encouraging me to do that as well. Yeah, thanks, Anne.
You're welcome, Mary. And you've come alive, and that's my joy to see you come alive in what you love to do.
Yes, thank you.
No, she has. You've actually become quite a firebrand, Mary. Mary just reached out to me and said, "Pam, can we collaborate?" I'm like, "Who is this?" But because I never dismiss people, here we are today. So then Mary ended up introducing me to you, and then
Yes.
we built the sisterhood. And now we know Belinda, we know Artie, we know Imani in the call as well. So I'm not sure if Artie and Imani, you want to say something before we take some closing reflections from Anne.
Yes. Sure.
Okay.
I think I'm happy to say that, you know what, in everything you're doing, even as I listened to what you just said, Mary, when you lie down at the end of the day to sleep, you must ask yourself if you have honored what you believe in, what's important to you. And that should stir you away from settling. We must not settle for less than. Let's keep pushing into that which we know could be fulfilling. And that way, you will find that you're able to live better. When you live better, you can lead better. And so I just want to encourage all of us to just look internally, reflect, realign, and step out into that which is beckoning, into the invitation that's out there.
Yes, so for me, it's really says that if you know better, we do better,
Yes,
right?
do better.
No,
Yes.
so thank you so
Yes.
much. And it is now 4 o'clock my time here in South Africa, and we
Yes.
really are inspired by your work. So where can people contact you, and how can they contact you?
Yes, we're actually dropping the links right now in the chat, and you can connect with me on LinkedIn. You can also visit my website that's on linked there. And then let me see if the links have come down. And then also for the 25% discount, we are sharing that. Let me see if, yeah, let me just drop
Yep.
them again. We got them. There we
Okay,
go.
so you are sharing. Thank you so much. And so I think really
There we
for
go.
more on Anne's work and resources on strategic, I mean on transformation strategy, just be sure to connect with her. And for all of you, thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking your time out of your busy day and joining us to have this very important discussion. Like I said, it is recorded. It will be uploaded on our social media platforms on YouTube. It will also be shared on LinkedIn, the YouTube link. So in closing, let's keep reflecting, let's keep reframing, let's keep resetting until we talk again. So thank you so much for being
Yes.
here. And Anne, thank you so much for your time. I will certainly be in touch because I don't just talk to people for the fun of it. I build relationships, I collaborate, I, build networks, and
Yes.
I build communities as well,
Yes.
So thank you so much for gracing us with your presence and sharing your wealth of information and your time as well. Until we
Thank you for
chat
having
again,
me,
thank
Pam.
you. Thank
Thank you very
you.
much.
Thank you all.
Thank you,
Okay.
everyone. Yes.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.